Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to Not Live with Xavier and Jasmine.
I'm Xavier.
And I'm Jasmine, and we are Not Live. This is episode one of our brand new gaming podcast here on the channel. We are doing some new things here in this new age, so this is one of them. We hope you guys enjoy. We're actually gonna get right on to the first item on the docket here, which is a new game roundup slash games we can't stream slash everything that's being released all at one time that Xavier is really excited about. So first, Xavier, you've expressed to me that you are at a gaming crossroads. Can you explain to me what you mean by that?
Oh, all I mean is there's a lot of games coming out right now, mm-hmm. or are about to come out this first quarter of the year.
We're in the second quarter.
Well, this first half of the year, because you know it's a new generation consoles, so they've all been coming out. Like tomorrow, Near Replica comes out next week. After that, we got Returnal. I think the week after that, we have Resident Evil.
Resident Evil 8. Full game.
Yeah, then a week after that, we got Mass Effect.
Yikes.
And then a week after that, we have Biomutant. So, we got a lot of games coming out back to back that I am not ready for.
Okay. And as an avid gamer, you have to play them all.
Yeah, I have to play them all. I don't know why. I don't need to buy them in the beginning. Like when I was a kid, you only get like what? 2-3 games a year, but now that I'm adult and I have the money to do so, I buy them all basically the first day they come out. If I'm looking forward to them,
which is crazy because it's digital release now. You don't need to like go to the store and get
copies. That's why it's so easy for me to just get them.
Oh, okay.
Immediately.
No impulse control is what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But you do. I mean, I know that you do get all around to playing all your games. There was a time. Mm-hmm. This summer, I don't know when it was, when you were like doing your, like, it was like you were doing your makeup assignments, trying to go through and play all these games that you didn't get to play. So you also have a backlog of games right now that you're trying to play through. I've just witnessed you play probably 40 hours of Control in the last week.
Damn, and not 40 hours. It's funny, I don't actually know how much I've played in the last week. I played enough for me to platinum the game without even really trying. I was just trying to unlock everything that I could.
You've been playing a lot.
I'm playing that much?
Probably not 40 hours, but honestly. Well,
I've been playing enough that I forgot what game I was playing right before.
Yeah.
Control, which was Sekiro.
Shadows Die Twice.
Which I'm playing right now on YouTube.
Yes, for your watching enjoyment. If you're watching us on YouTube, you're watching Xavier play Sekiro.
Get in my butt kicked.
Now, okay, explain to me the new game plus 1, 2, 3, 4. How does that work?
In Sekiro, so after you beat the game once, you can start a new game again. Makes all the enemies harder, and it makes them have more health, do more damage, but you yourself don't get any benefit. So it's just a harder game.
Uh-huh. And which edition of New Game Plus are you on right now?
I'm on New Game 3 right now, and I think I'm just going to start 4 right now, because it's not be entertaining people to watch me die the gorilla over and over again.
Okay.
Only because it's hard for me to, you know, I didn't think I can, I thought I can do both.
Wouldn't 4 be harder than 3?
Yes, but if I start a new game right now, I'll just start going against, regular people.
Gotcha. Yeah, I asked him. I was like, I thought
I could, but I guess Sekiro's more distracting than I thought when it comes to the boss battles.
I thought it was a full attention type of game, so alright, just wanted to make sure I got that right. Okay, so yeah, you were playing Sekiro. Then you're playing Control, which you just platinumed. Let's see.
I'm still playing it. Yeah. So back when I realized all these games are coming out next month, I was like, oh shoot, I need to catch up. So it started with Persona 5 Strikers that came out I think a month ago.
Dang.
And I already beat it. And I wanna play the new game plus, which is the harder difficulty and stuff, and you get luck, better weapons and things for your people. But I'm like, I don't got time. Because it turned out Sekiro had an update in December that I missed. So that's why I was playing that for like the past 2 weeks. Then after I finished that, you know, I did everything that I could do in Sekiro. And they're like, well, this is a good game. And I accidentally platinum Sekiro too while doing that.
Oh my goodness.
So playing it again, now they had like these boss gauntlets and stuff. I realized how good the game it is. I don't think I've seen any better like melee combat.
Really?
In Sekiro. Nothing more satisfying than doing deflex and Makuri counters in Sekiro. But yeah, so I've I made a good stopping point in Sekiro, so then I jumped in Control. Gotcha. Control had the PlayStation 5 release. Remember, we tried to play Control on the channel when it first came out, but PlayStation 4 could not handle that.
No, it could not.
Long loading times and a lot of drops in frame rate.
Yes.
So now that it came out on PlayStation 5, I got my chance to play it.
And you've been giving it, honestly, no less than 15 hours
a week. I don't know where you're getting these numbers
from. I'm getting the numbers from every time I walk into the room. I'm just playing it. TV.
I'm playing it a little here, a little there, you know?
From the time you get off work to the time we stream. And then after the stream. That's easy. You going to tell me that's less than 3 hours a day?
Jamming.
Every day, come on.
Jamming.
So easily that's 15 hours.
I'm not even reading. I'm barely reading any pieces of paper. And you know, there's like
that's why you're playing the game. If you would stop and actually have to read, you would not be playing the game so much.
Yeah, I don't know. Why games trying to have me read things.
All right, let me see what else we touched on. Fury, Outer Worlds, Outer Wilds.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. There's so much stuff I was trying to catch up on because all these games coming out next month. Mm-hmm. So I want to play Outer Wilds because that was a game we missed a long time ago when it first came out, because everyone's confusing it with Outer Worlds, mm-hmm. which I'm also playing right now, because mm-hmm. they just released a new DLC, Jasmine.
Now, which one's which?
Outer Wilds is the one where the solar system explodes every 28 minutes.
Outer Wilds.
Yes.
That one should be called Outer Worlds. But then the other one wouldn't make sense to call the other one Outer Wilds, mm-hmm. so okay, all right, okay, okay, okay. You're right.
So that's the one I was playing, but it got difficult, because I don't know what to do. I think that's, and I'm trying not to look it up. That's the whole point,
right?
And then Outer Worlds is that's the one from the people that made Fallout, or old Fallout New Vegas. That's the one they made in particular.
Very mm-hmm. much the same energy.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't finish the first DLC, Wrath on Gorgon or something, Peril on Gorgon. I think that's the name of it.
Okay.
And then a new DLC came out this month that I had not gotten a chance to play yet because I didn't finish the other one.
Xavier, you have too much.
Yeah.
You have too much.
And then Fury was another game I was playing. Because
I don't know anything about Fury.
The only reason I even liked it was because it's like a boss rush, like Cuphead. Oh.
Uh-huh.
And it's made by the people that made Haven.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So let me give this a shot.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm playing that too.
Now, this is completely unrelated, but is Risk of Rain a boss rush?
No.
Okay. I see y'all play Risk of Rain all the time. Yeah. Looks like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what's going on the screen. I get a little bit of... Oh, I already forgot the name of the game. I get a little bit of Fortnite, but I also get a little bit of Hades, and it's...
You see me play Hades?
Yes, I've seen you play Hades.
Like on the TV?
No.
Oh, okay.
But you played it a lot. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know, so I don't have any idea
like what that 200 plus hours in Hades.
Because you're right, so but I obviously put it down, I saw you play.
But I know you're going, I was on the panel on Switch, so I didn't know you were watching me like that. There's more Hades than Fortnite. Fortnite's probably only an aesthetic.
Okay.
Yeah, Risk of Rain is a roguelike where...
I don't know that reference either.
So you go as far as you can go, and when you die, you start all over again.
Oh, okay. Hmm. All right, so... Xavier's at a crossroads. Did you talk about Eternal Mass Effect, Resident Evil 8, Biomutant?
Yes. That comes out in the 4th, I think.
Jeez Louise. This is getting out of hand.
Yeah, 4th or 9th. So.
This is tough. Yeah.
And we still haven't even finished Resident Evil 2 remake, really.
No, we didn't.
I finished Claire's playthrough, but I didn't finish Leo's.
For the stream. All right. Okay. So, all right. Near Replica. Let's talk about that one specifically. I don't know anything about the Near universe.
I don't know anything about Near Replica itself.
Okay, cool. We streamed Near Automata probably 2018, mid-2018, mm-hmm. something like that. So much fun. Phenomenal story. Great characters. I loved it. I really did. There was a great little death march. 2B, that's my girl. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I really loved that game. So I'm looking forward to Near Replica. Now that comes out during the rush of all these other games that are out.
That comes out tomorrow.
Oh yeah, are we gonna stream it?
We'll stream the first.
Just give the people a little peek.
You know, play a new game. I played like the first hour on stream.
Yeah.
Then depending on how that's going, will determine if I play the rest on stream.
Got you.
So this one, we're probably only going to play, the first hour on stream.
By the time this podcast goes up, you will have probably seen us stream.
Oh yeah.
Near Replica, episode 1, which will be this Friday, so that'll timestamp this recording. But, okay. I'm looking forward to that. The prequel, from what I only know what you told me, similar timeline, universe, situation, stuff going on.
So since it's out tomorrow, I've already seen some reviews. Well, I didn't see them, but I saw like IGN talk, or is it Polygon? One of them was talking about it. And basically they're saying it is, like, you know, the original game came out like 10 years ago.
Right, so they're
saying the pacing is not good anymore, like it, compared to when it came out 10 years ago.
Okay.
So this, I think the main point, they said it didn't really get good until 10 hours in. Ooh. And that's a lot to ask of me.
That's okay.
That's a commitment.
That is a commitment. I'm okay with that, but you already know you're going to play it.
Yeah, so as long as I know what's going on at that point, then yeah, it's fine.
You know there's a payoff.
Compared to like Persona 5, they had like a 10-hour tutorial fighting Kushima or whatever the first guy's name is.
Oh, yeah, that was all the tutorial. Okay, all right. Looking forward to that. Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
When oh, that's another new game. Oh, my. Mm-hmm. I think it comes out in the summer. I think we're still good on that. We got some time. But you were asking me earlier about timeline-wise. Mm-hmm. I hope they're going back to the original timeline and they gave up on whatever remake they made.
Yeah.
Or retelling or whatever. I didn't like that one at all.
The retconning of Ratchet's motivation.
Yeah, I don't like his character in that one. I preferred lazy. I'm okay with the hero being dragged along, you know?
Me too. Especially in an animated world. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Because eventually he did decide, fine, I'll save the world. You know, he chose to do that.
Right.
In the new one, he was already...
gung-ho.
Yeah, he was already, like, a fan of Quark or whatever. And
I didn't like
the new one. I didn't like how every time they spoke, Ratchet wasn't even looking at him. He was looking dead off in the space. And Clank did not say a word in any conversation ever. He's just on Ratchet's back.
Which is weird, because you know that Clank is a sentient character.
Yeah.
And so why didn't he
not just come down?
Not be a part of the conversation. It doesn't make sense. I forgot. We streamed that as well back in 2017/2018 early stream days.
Yeah, we streamed that on the PlayStation 4, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So we had, that was before we had the laptop. Mm-hmm. So we had the stream, we streamed using the PlayStation itself.
Yep.
So whenever we reached a cutscene, the stream could not see it because it was protected.
I forgot about that. Yeah. And I remember I don't know. Hopefully they fix all that. But I hope they return to the Ratchet that I know and love. Because we know and love him. That's why he's so popular. That's why we keep making new games with this guy. All right, I'm looking forward to the Life is Strange.
You're looking forward to that?
I am. So she has powers. She has. I can't remember the name of the game. Do you remember by chance?
No.
So there's a new game. Is it already out?
No. Things coming out this summer.
There's a new installment in the Life is Strange game universe, whatever. The only Life is Strange game that I played was the original. And we streamed that. We played that on the stream, 2019-ish, give or take. And it was fun. Good story. Classic, angsty teenage girls, but they actually, like, threw in some really dark twists and stuff like that. I thought it was a fun game. Then they made a prequel where people didn't have powers, and that's ridiculous, because I'm like, whoa. Now
yeah, they made a prequel with Chloe.
A story about an angsty teenage girl. That's not good enough. and then they made another game. But this game... whole new cast of characters, and the main character who has powers is an empath, and that is very interesting to me. I, back in the day of like discovering the X-Men and stuff like that, and thinking about what kind of mutant powers I would want, and if I could be an X-Men, what would I be? I always narrowed it down to like, I wish I could like see people's feelings the way that the way a telepath can read people's minds. I'd want to read people's feelings, or be able to manipulate them.
Okay. I prefer the second one.
Well, yes, but I feel like that's the more like advanced / intrusive version. But that's what I would want. And that's what her power is in this game. So there's a murder. I think the main character's brother is murdered.
Yeah, I think she her like
moves
died.
To a new town. Yeah, he dies mysteriously. She's suspicious, and so she uses her ability to sense or detect or identify people's emotions in order to investigate and try to get to the bottom of it. I think that's a really cool concept. Because just having a conversation about, you know, a murder with somebody, you know, that's the black, sad murder mystery. Oh, by the way, murder mystery is my favorite genre of media.
Mm-hmm.
So I like a murder mystery anyway, but to be able to know this person's getting anxious or this person's getting upset, that's a nice twist. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm probably going to need you to play it.
And it's funny you say that, because I don't want to play that. I had the exact opposite reaction. You got me going from the power to change time itself to reading people's emotion, like, oh, the man looks sad. I think she can also, when she touches someone, she gains their feelings, or she can control how they feel. Yes, and like, look, I can make someone sad, and I can make them happy, you know, compared to my girl Max controlling time.
It's a puzzle. It's a puzzle game for sure. I like it. I know you're like, yeah, this
not,
is.
I'm not looking forward to that one. I was actually hoping hoping you would play it when that comes out, and then I can man the chat
if I can try. Hey, you know, now that I'm playing It Takes Two, if I can do that, I can do anything. But before we get into It Takes Two, which we will, before we get into that, we're gonna talk about Apex Legends.
Oh, okay, yeah. So this is goes with me being busy for all these other games.
Got some because new
I'm supposed to be helping Asian. This season, I don't know what season we're on, but was supposed to be our season. I'm supposed to help him get high in the ranks, but I failed him because I had not been playing with him because I've been playing these other games. And we've been busy.
Okay. So you're a bad friend.
Yeah, because now next month, the new season starts next month, and you see how many games gotta play.
It's not gonna
happen.
So
I haven't broken to him yet, but it's not gonna happen. You're probably gonna find out via this podcast.
How long is the season?
It's a long time. I don't know. I think it's like 2 or 3 months.
That's a long time. Wow, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, the next season starts, yeah, like I said, I think in 2 weeks.
I'm gonna let the man down like
but
that.
But you know it comes out in 2 weeks?
No.
Resident Evil 8.
We're obligated. We are obligated to stream Resident Evil 8 on this channel.
And we keep talking about the Mass Effect game coming out as if that's not a whole trilogy. That's three games. That's at
long
least
games.
I think the fastest I got through it was probably like 35 hours each.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Well, not even a third one, but yeah, so that's 90
and,
plus.
Oh my, you're gonna be in back in the building. Like, now you gotta contend with traffic in the commute and stuff.
Yeah. I'm gonna go work from home as long as possible, okay?
Okay.
I'm gonna make this work.
All those minutes add up. I'm not gonna be able to do everything. Okay, so that's kind of the what we missed slash what we're looking forward to moving forward in the gaming world. Our recent games on the channel. So, just to be clear, this is a Not Life podcast for the Xavier and Jasmine live gaming channel. That's our bread and butter. We stream video games live Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and the weekends at 9 o'clock p.m. Central Time. That's what we do. So, most recently on the channel, we've been playing It Takes Two, which is obviously a co-op, so we both played. Very exciting. So let's talk a little bit about It Takes Two. Why was it good? Why was it bad? Why do you love it? Why do you hate it? Etc. I'll let you start.
The only problem I had with It Takes Two was it was too long. That was way too long.
I agree.
Well, I guess another problem I had was some of the powers weren't as fun as the other ones. In certain sections. What was my least favorite power? I want to say the magnets. The magnets were stupid. I didn't like the magnets.
I didn't like the magnets either. When I started going back over the powers in my head, I had forgotten some. Mm-hmm. The like bumblebee section with the
you forgot the little juice.
The explosion. Mm-hmm. The explosion. I forgot about that. It was just so much that I forgot. Mm-hmm. You know,
just because it was so long. Well, but at the same time, to give it credit, we play like Jabin said Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the weekends.
Right.
And we don't even hit those all the time.
Right.
So. We only stream an hour at a time, really.
Exactly.
So that drew a lot. But it still took us 13 streams, about 13 hours. So that's a long time for
even if
for
we
two
played
people.
Through a whole chapter one at a time, it would still take us a long time.
Yeah.
And some of those chapters, honestly, weren't fun. So, but it was the premise phenomenal. I would say if I could take away some of the ones toward the end, like the magnet, whatever we were doing in that clock tower.
Yeah, they just cut that down.
If we just straight half. Took those out of the game.
We would take them out by the game.
Oh my gosh. It would be a blast. It would have been a blast. Another thing that we have to acknowledge. So beautiful. The design from the ceiling to the smallest pig on the ground was intricately done. It was extremely gorgeous to look at. I can't imagine the file size, the rendering, the computing, the programming. I cannot imagine.
Oh, yeah, really taking advantage of that next-gen
really graphics. Really taking advantage of it. I thought it was a great game, despite the fact that I didn't have fun the entire time that I played it.
tell the audience why you didn't have fun, Jam.
I didn't have your fun weakness. Because I cannot move a camera. Okay, yes, that is, I mean, that sounds exactly like what it means. When I'm playing a video game, I'm not seasoned, all right? I stopped playing video games before camera moving entered into the realm for me. So I can't move a character and move a camera at the same time. Which made this, the whole challenge of this game, nearly impossible. So much collaboration, time, pacing.
They gave May a lot of sex, and she had to move things for me.
So many. And then the boss fights, and it was, it was hard. It was hard. So, yeah. I did not have the competency to enjoy the game to its fullest degree. I can acknowledge that. But even besides that, the story drug its feet. For a while,
yeah,
in the middle,
yeah.
But it was fun. I would definitely recommend it to any, you know, like couple or any two people in the world who just want to like find a way to spend some time together. That was really, it was really fun.
Mm-hmm. It was. I did like how they were mixing up the gameplay a lot, but since it was so long, kind of, you know, took away from that.
Right.
If it was shorter and they were doing it that much, that would have been good.
So impressive. I also really liked the mini games.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did like the mini game. Oh, really?
Love the mini.
Whenever I try to play mini games in the, what was the other one they made? A Way Out? Mm-hmm. You always get upset, remember?
I don't remember any of the mini games in A Way Out.
They had a whole bunch, and you would never let me play any of them.
Sorry. these were more cutesy.
Mm-hmm.
These were more cutesy.
One of them was just chess, okay?
I enjoyed it. It was a 3-minute timer. I could have won. That's a stretch. I could only see like one or two moves in the future. Mm-hmm. But I had a good time. Yeah. One of them was chess. So yeah, It Takes Two. That was our most recent blockbuster. I had a very good time. So before It Takes Two, we beat I think Little Miss Fortune and Spider-Man.
Yes. Although you're talking about the other two player game we played. That was Haven.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about Haven?
I do. So, we didn't stream that.
No, we didn't stream. We just played that by ourselves.
Mm-hmm. By ourselves, which was perfect. It was, like, during the time that I was moving and before the wedding, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, so, Haven is another two-player co-op. I think you can only play Haven local.
Yeah, I don't think there's multiplayer.
You can only play Haven local. It's a story about a couple, two young lovers in like this dystopian future, and they run away from their government and fly off to a different planet. So much fun. A really, really simple game. Really simple.
That one didn't have you moving the camera much, right?
Not at all.
You had to follow my guy.
Yeah, not at all. Which worked to my disadvantage sometimes, but I think I did win the seed contest, so.
Yeah, that's because he had a little thing you could cheat and scout ahead of me.
Yes, that's true. That game was fun. I can recommend that one also, to just, if you're looking for a game to play with your, I don't know, housemate, and you want something to do. Very fun, simple. You just explored, your ship crashes on this strange planet, and you just go around exploring the planet, collecting supplies. There's a good story in there. It's not a whole lot of story, but it's enough story. It's more about the
characters,
K and U. It's about them kind of, I don't know, just figuring life out there in the wilderness. It's fun. They have like riffs, a lot of different cutscenes where they just talk to each other and you can cook different foods. I don't know. That game was it was fun. It was relaxing. It came out the right time. I can highly recommend Haven. That was great. I'll always remember the days that we played Haven. So that was really fun. Okay, we got It Takes Two, Haven.
How would you compare that to It Takes Two?
I would compare it. They're actually hard for me to compare. In terms of story, they're almost nothing alike.
Mm.
In terms of gameplay, it was significantly easier for me to play Haven than it was for me to play It Takes Two. There was combat. It was like turn-based combat.
Which got hard at some points in time.
Which did. They found ways to make it more challenging and confusing. But not a whole lot of strategy in the combat. There is some strategy in the resources, but not necessarily in the combat. And then in It Takes Two, there weren't any resources. You just went through the game. And once you finished something, you were done with it. Mm. Whereas in Haven, the whole map was important the whole time.
Yeah, clearing off all the biodomes and whatnot.
Yeah. So that was cool. I also enjoyed, like you said, Haven was more about the characters.
Yeah.
My favorite part about stories is the character. And so you got to learn, it was just the nature of the writing in Haven and the presentation of the game that you got to learn so much more about the characters. Mm-hmm. To this day, I don't know a whole lot about May and Cody. Matter of fact, I'm trying to write the script for the review. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about these people.
Nah, I don't know about.
I mean, is May a workaholic? I don't really know.
I don't know what she did. Engineer?
I think she said she was an engineer in her first little cutscene.
Okay.
And, like, I think she's been accused of working too much, but I don't know if that's, like, her personality trait, or if that's just something that her bitter, soon-to-be ex-husband mentioned passing one time. Whereas in Haven, Kay and Yu, they talked about their hopes and dreams. They talked about, oh, I didn't know this about you. They talked about, you know, it hurt me when you did this because it reminded me of when I was growing up on planet such and such, and my mom did this, and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Like, we know their whole backstory. We know Kay was a foster kid, and he had to learn how to do this because he was in foster care, and all his brothers and sisters, blah, blah, blah. And you never learned how to do that because she grew up on the rich planet and all this, like, so.
And you out here getting bubbly naked cooking dinner.
She out here getting bubbly naked cooking dinner.
Gave Kay a heart attack. He was in a coma for a little bit. He got sick.
That's not true. The loading screens show, the loading screens are just like one picture, just like a, like one square in a comic, I don't know how to describe it. Mm-hmm. And at one loading screen, you, who's the girl, was butt-booty naked cooking in an apron. Mm-hmm. And Kay, the boy, did look like he was having a heart attack. His face was in shock.
And what was the next loading screen
happen? The next loading screen, he was in bed recovering with ice on his head.
Right? I wonder what he was recovering from.
She did put him in a coma. Xavier keeps accusing this girl of putting him in a coma. She did not put that boy into a coma, okay?
All right, I'm just going off what the game told me, okay?
And they're randomized. Loading screens are random. So, again, I don't know what you're talking about when you say that. It doesn't make any sense. But you're crazy, all right? You're a little crazy. But I really enjoyed Haven quite a bit. I'd play it again.
Oh, I wouldn't play it again.
It was a little, yeah. It's a little sprinkles of stories. I just enjoyed the gameplay. I enjoyed
Yeah, gameplay wise, It Takes Two more, but character wise, I liked old girl in K more.
Her name was Yu.
I didn't play Yu, so I don't know her name.
Okay, fair enough. All right, moving along. Oh, channel updates. So this is part of the channel updates. Now we have a couple new projects rolling out on the channel. First, we have our gaming podcast called Not Live with Xavier and Jasmine. You're listening to it right now. Hope you enjoy. And I have a new review show called Right or Left with Jasmine, where I take the games that we streamed and I review those games from the perspective of storytelling and writing specifically. So somebody like me, who's not, like I said, doesn't have the competency to enjoy some of these games to their fullest potential, what I certainly can do is break down the writing and figure out, is it good or is it bad? Does it take away from the game or not? You know, et cetera, et cetera. So that's, it's going to be my new little niche on the channel. You can expect about two of those every month. Okay. And about two of these every month, I think.
Okay.
One or two. So yeah. Let's see. Ooh, and Xavier mentioned that he was thinking of doing a Naughty Dog tier list, yeah? A PS3.
Oh, so, about a month ago. Month or two ago, there was an article, I don't know who reported it, but there were rumors that Sony was going to delete the PlayStation Store for the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation Vita. So if they did that, we would have lost access. If you didn't own the game already, like if you didn't buy it, you wouldn't be able to download it or purchase it later. Mm. So that got me scared. So I was going to go back through the old PlayStation 3 store and see what was left, you know. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I was going to, you know, just stream a bunch of the games from that time period.
Oh.
But Sony recently backed down, like yesterday, I think.
Good.
What's today's date? 22nd?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think yesterday. They backed down and said, nah, we're not going to do that. Y'all can keep this stuff. But now that's bringing up a lot of points about how these games are going to be reserved.
Preserved.
Yeah. Because you can see no one, mm-hmm. I don't know what is it about PlayStation 3, but however they coded or made their games, it's really hard for people to emulate it. And you can see, because the PlayStation 5 can't even play it.
Yep.
So, if they took down that store, those games, some of those games would have been lost forever.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. No one would ever play Monsters again.
I think the world would be okay if people were not playing Monsters yet.
I love Monsters.
But yeah, I might still make that little...
Just
stream
a little,
that a little bit.
Blast in the past.
But as you can see, I've got a lot of games to play.
I see that.
Got a lot of games to
play.
Oh,
I got Deathloop on the bottom of this list. I probably belonged up there.
Oh, yes, no, new game. But I thought it was coming out next month, but they pushed it back to, I think, like September. So I got some more time, which is good for me.
All right, now before we close out, I'm just going to hit you with a couple conversations. And viewers, by all means, give us your take on these things. So, I want to ask you what it is about 3D platformers that you love so much.
The double jump.
You do love a double jump. Why do you love a double jump? And why don't you, like, can you double jump in Sekiro?
No. But Sekiro is not a 3D platformer.
Exactly. So, I'm saying, why do you specifically love the double jump in the 3D platformers?
Because you can, like, correct yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. That correction. Like, I could... That was our dog. If I jump off the cliff and need to like I jump too far, I can double mm-hmm. jump and correct myself.
Yes.
But I can't do that without the 3D platform, you know?
I see. And I mean, without the double jump. Mm-hmm. And it takes two. Most of it is, you know, just navigating the world. But a good deal of it mm-hmm. is platform style.
Yes.
A very good deal of it is platform style. I know you like that, and they do have that double jump that you like.
Yes, they did have the double jump. But unfortunately, the platforming in that game wasn't too difficult, you know?
No.
So,
no. You didn't have to correct yourself often.
Yeah, I didn't have to do that much. Like, you said it right now. So you just said that, I forgot there was double jump actually in there.
Yeah. Because I had to use it all the time. Mm. Okay. I swing, I go left. I didn't mean to go that far left. All right. So then double jump, that second jump.
Yeah, I pushed the dash button more than anything else.
The dash was good. Yeah, the dash was good.
But yeah, 3D platformers are my favorite
type
of games.
Tell me about the games that you played that made you realize this. That really you was like, okay, gaming world will never do better than this.
Spyro.
Of course.
Spyro, of course, you know, classic platformer. Mm-hmm. Spyro 2 is my favorite. Spyro 3, I remember being a step down.
It was.
And I did not like all the characters they added.
Too many characters.
I don't know what they were thinking.
Too much going on.
But of course, my favorite game, which is also 3D platformer, is Psychonauts.
Mm-hmm.
That has combat. So what Spyro is missing is combat. I mean, it has, I'm okay, light combat. It was good.
Yeah.
For a kid's game. But a Psychonauts spot up a little further.
Yeah.
With different powers and such, and puzzles, and comedy, and a good story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And of course, Psychonauts has that double jump.
Psychonauts does have that double jump. Mm-hmm. Alright, modern day 3D platformers.
I liked Hat in Time. I think you saw me playing it earlier.
Yeah.
I wasn't actually a big fan of Mario Odyssey.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. Can you double jump on that?
I thought you enjoyed that game. We streamed Mario Odyssey, but it was pretty quick and we were in two separate places.
You saw it, and I didn't touch it after we finished it.
True.
I think I imagine you double jump on that. It doesn't make sense for you not to, but I didn't. The combat in Mario Odyssey was bad.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Spyro had better combat than that. I don't like just jumping on enemies' heads.
Spyro 1999. Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
I want to punch him.
So what's the future of 3D platformers? You think it's going to stick around? I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
Although, Psychonauts 2 is coming out.
True.
Have you saw the clips of the recent platform that came out? Everybody's saying it's bad.
No.
That Donkey and Critical made that video about them.
I didn't think that was a real thing.
Wonderland or something.
Yeah.
I forgot the name, but yes, that's the future, Javin.
Don't say that.
And if that's the future, it's not looking good for 3D platformers.
Don't say that. Yeah. We'll let Psychonauts lead the way once again. Once again, we'll let them lead the way. Okay. All right. Good talk. And next thing, I want to talk about gaming with friends. Now, this is a generational thing. And I was thinking about it. Our kids, or the kids who are growing up now, aren't going to have the experience of like, oh, I want to play this game. Can I go to my friend's house to play? Mm. Like, now there's going to be a copy of the game, digital or otherwise, in every household. And to play with your friends, you just... Everyone gets in front of their computer and plays at the same time.
Now, are you referring to multiplayer, or are you talking about just, like, kids not having the game?
I'm both, but let's talk about just kids not having the game first.
Well, that's a tough one. If the kids don't have the game, then yeah, they're going to go to a friend's house to play it.
Okay.
But some games are, that require to be, like, it takes two. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you noticed, but only one person has to own the game.
Oh, I didn't know.
So if I want to play online, Facey, and he can play for free because I own the game.
Oh.
So some games are doing that, but those, you know, require two people.
Right.
So I imagine not all of them are. Right. So as far as kids not owning the game, like if my friend or our kid's friend has Grand Theft Auto and he wants to play that behind our back,
mm-hmm.
he's going to have to go to his friend's house to play that.
Oh, wow. Okay, just like the good old days.
Yeah, but no one, but as if you're referring to like a sleepover or everyone's in the house together.
Yeah.
Then no, people are not going to be, because there's not that many split screens like that anymore for them to play.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
So like when Acian comes over to visit me, all we can play really is just zombies. Because that was the last split screen. I can't think of any other split screen.
That's a really good point. I had forgotten about that. Now, co-op has kind of turned to everyone has their
multiplayer,
own...
Multiplayer.
Everyone has their own... station, their own home base from which to play the game. So when you're in the same place at the same time, it actually limits the games that you can play together. Mm. That's such the opposite of what we grew up with.
But the Switch is changing things, though.
True that.
But not everyone will own a Switch.
No, Nintendo is a niche market. And they understand that. They do what they do, and they do it well, and they're good with that. Huh. See, I'm glad you brought that up. So this is why we have these types of conversations. Mm. Not live with Xavier and Jasmine.
Yep, just something light.
Just something light. Well, everyone, that is episode one. We hope you enjoyed, and we hope to see you back here, whether it be for our live streams at 9 p.m. Central Time, or maybe catch one of our other uploads. But thanks for joining the podcast, and we will see you around. Bye.
Bye-bye.